Okay, good evening, everyone. So everyone should have two packets, as I mentioned, and we're just going to finish up from last week, and then we're going to, Mirtz Hashem, start the next section of our shiur this week. So first of all, before we begin, even though it's on the cover of the shiur for this week, it includes all of our learning for tonight. Our shiur tonight is dedicated by Sippy and Mark Brand, commemorating the yahrzeit of Mark's father, Ted Brand, Yehuda Treitel Ben Mordechai, whose yahrzeit is the 8th of Kislev. And so our learning should be an Eloi for his neshama. Okay, so we last left off last week. First of all, thank you everyone for coming out. I know it's a little cold, and I know there's weather coming, which I know is the anticipatory stress is already in my house. We're already thinking about it and what's going to be with the weather and what's going to happen. It's certainly not going to involve me, but we've already been in touch with Antonio. Anyway, so last week we began our exploration of the Tfilos of Kabbalah Shabbos. And we spoke about how Kabbalah Shabbos is not just a set of Mizmorim, is not just a set of Tehillim, it's not just a set of Psalms, it is actually an entire spiritual internal transformation of ourselves leading into Shabbos. And that's what we began to speak about last week, which is the notion that we come to shul and we think that these are our prayers. These are tefillos, like any other tefillah. And we basically sit down and we recite the words. And we recite the words, and the words have a meaning, and the words have a context, and the words have a purpose, and they have a goal. And that we finish those tefillos, we finish those prayers, and then we go home. What we discovered last week is that that's not what Erev Shabbos is all about. Erev Shabbos is an existential transformation that takes place within ourselves. That these tefillos and this whole process and this entire ritual is a manifestation and an expression of a transition that is taking place not only external to ourselves, which is the transition from Chol to Shabbos, the transition of the Kedushas Hayom, because that transition takes place anytime we have a Shabbos or a Yontif. We don't have Kabbalah Shabbos on Yontif. But the transition that's taking place is not only in the atmosphere, is not only in the space and time of our environment, but most importantly, a qualitative, concrete transformation that's taking place within ourselves. Something's happening to us. There is this extra layer, this extra dimension of spirituality which we absorb over the course of Shabbos, which is not just us connecting to the world around us, the spiritual world around us. It is rather a change that is intended to come and to affect within ourselves. And in order for that to happen, the entire institution of Kabbalah Shabbos is about providing us the context for the intentionality that is necessary for that transition to take place. People don't just change spiritually on their own. People don't just change because we move from one zone of the year into the other, and suddenly we're supposed to connect and be different people. We're in the month of Kislev, we're coming on Chanukah, we're starting to think about all the themes of Chanukah, seeing the miracles in our lives, not only the overt miracles, but the way the overt miracles speak to and highlight and reveal the more hidden miracles in our lives. It's not enough to just light a menorah. It's not enough to just listen to good speeches about themes of Chanukah. It's not enough to just listen to Shiurim on YUTorah.org. It's not enough to just read Svarim about Chanukah. There has to be a moment where we take a step back and we say to ourselves, this is real, this is concrete, this is something that I want to connect to, and with intention and deliberate, affirming, concrete choice, we embrace the themes and what they are supposed to do to ourselves. The worst thing we could do is lead spiritual lives from a disposition of passivity, thinking that somehow Judaism is supposed to affect us. Judaism in the mitzvos and the Magal Hashanah, the calendar, is a context for us to walk into. And if we walk into it and we connect to and we embrace all of the rituals and all of the themes and all of the ideas that are pulsating in that period of time, then we can change as people. Then we can become significantly affected by that experience. And Shabbos, which comes every single week, is such a great challenge because it's not Hanukkah. It's not once a year. It's not Pesach. It's not, Pesach 6 months of the year. It's not Purim, right? Which we barely remember after the year, right? It's every week there's a day that's devoted to spiritual growth. It requires that kind of intentionality. And that's what Kabbalah Shabbos is about. Kabbalah Shabbos is walking in to the spirituality of Shabbos. So we left off in the packet from last week in source number 11, which was the Apter Rav, the Oev Yisrael. And then we have two pieces from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So in source number 11, so he talks about the following. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Shabsosai Tishmoru Ladas Mekadeshchem, right? So Hashem speaks to Moshe, and he tells him, I want you to guard my Shabbos. So he writes the following. Look about three lines down in the source on the right side. Amar Rav Hanosein Matona Lechavero Tzarech Lehodio. This is actually a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, and the Gemara speaks about the importance of not giving gifts anonymously, right? You shouldn't just give someone a present anonymously. You should let them know who you are, where this is coming from, and that, whatever the reason for that is, you know, we would think that's quite altruistic to give a gift anonymously and to not let people know where it came from. But there are also downsides to that. That person doesn't get to express gratitude, hakaras hatov, and there might be a layer of, you know, almost, not manipulation, but, you know, if a person doesn't know where things are coming from, then they have no idea where, you know, where their loyalties lie, where maybe there are expectations, you know, coming from things. So that's the Gemara in Shabbos. Okay, why that is for another time. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Matana Tova Yesh Li Bebeis Ginzi, V'Shabbos Shema. I have a great Matana in my storehouse, and it's called Shabbos. Uvadaya Matana Tova Shel Shabbos. Ratzalomar ha'or. So what is this gift of Shabbos, right? If we were to ask, let's say, some of our middle school children, if they see Shabbos as a gift, right? I would say that they see Motze Shabbos as a gift, right? But Shabbos as a gift makes a good Uncle Moshe song, but not always the easiest Shabbos afternoon. So sometimes for the parents also. So Ratzalomar ha'or v'hakedusha atzuma. Asher yored milmala letoch lovos b'nei Adam b'yom Shabbos Kodesh. The gift of Shabbos is not the context of Shabbos. It's not even the experience of Shabbos. It's the transformative capacity of Shabbos to change you, to change your experience. It's the gift of being able to live one day connected to yourself, connected to spirituality. Our life is very busy. It's very stressful. We have a lot going on. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's a lot happening. We try our best to connect to our spirituality through tefillah, through mitzvos, through learning. But at the end of the day, our priorities are in the world of Sheishes Yamim Tavot. We have responsibilities and things we have to do. The gift of Shabbos is the gift of being able to take a step back and to allow oneself to be uplifted in spirit and in experience, and to have that transformative effect. Shabbos Kodesh v'ruach kedusha sheklaim chadashim. Asher ha'ish ha'yisraeli masig oz v'chiyus ruchanios haba me'olam elyon me'olam shekulo Shabbos v'kulo tanuk. And it is a gift that comes from the very heights of the heavens, in that it infuses us with a certain spiritual pleasure. And that's why you're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. And this is very important, right? Shabbos is not supposed to be miserable, right? Only the sermon on Shabbos is supposed to be miserable, right? Shabbos in general is supposed to be enjoyable. We're supposed to do things that are physically enjoyable on Shabbos. One might think that that is contradictory to the concept of prioritizing our spiritual growth on Shabbos. But of course, in Yahadus, nothing could be further from the truth. We don't view physicality as the antithesis of depth and meaning and connection and spirituality. Physicality is an opportunity to harness a worldly, physical, temporal experience and elevate it to something that has meaning and purpose. And so therefore, if you spend Shabbos isolated from the community, isolated from your family, sitting in some room somewhere, meditating off on a journey of total isolation, that's not the Shabbos experience. Shabbos experience is the home, is the community, is the shul, is the food, is the chulent, is the challah, is the intimacy of family, of marriage. Shabbos oneg is part of the mitzvah of Shabbos, to enjoy the Shabbos experience, to enjoy things physically in a spiritually elevated context. And he writes, "V'hu bebeis kinzei amelech malcho shel olam," and that's what it means that Hashem gives us this gift. Asher b'yom haShabbos niftach olam arevu shebo kinzei chayim akolze be'emes roi v'nachon l'chol ish maskil v'novon losum elibo litzapos ulayachel kol yemei achol yos mishomrei Shabbos. And this is what he says. This is what is incumbent upon everybody. That part of keeping Shabbos is to anticipate Shabbos, is to appreciate Shabbos, is to look forward to Shabbos, is to work at wanting to bring in the world of Shabbos. It's not a binary experience that at 4:32, we're in the world of Chol, and at 4:33, we flip a magic switch and suddenly we're saturated with spiritual feelings and spiritual growth. No, it's supposed to be a gradual ascension, a gradual anticipation, a building of focus. That's what it means to a sense of anticipation. And it's interesting, he quotes a pasuk, Kemo, and that's what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos. We always ask, what does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos, right? Are they Shomer Shabbos? So we generally assume that to mean a Shomer Shabbos is someone who observes the laws of Shabbos, right? Do you observe Shabbos? Do you refrain from being involved with technology on Shabbos, with cooking on Shabbos? Are you a Shomer Shabbos or are you not a Shomer Shabbos? But what's interesting is the word Shomer does not mean observe. The word Shomer means to guard. So what is a Shomer Shabbos? A Shomer Shabbos is somebody, what's a guard? A guard, right? We're all holding by security now, right? A guard is not placed within within what you're trying to protect. A guard is placed beyond what you're trying to protect, right? I spend a lot of time at airports, right? You go through security. If you're blessed to spend time at Newark Airport, Hashem should help Newark Airport, right? So if you're blessed to spend time in Newark Airport, you arrive at the airport and you have to go through the whole process of security and all the different things they make you do because they're trying to protect something that's way beyond security, which is the airplanes themselves, right? That's what they're trying to protect, the travelers and the airplanes and all these different things. What about everybody outside the area of security who haven't gone through all the security, right? Why don't we try to protect them also? Why don't we have the guards a mile out from us? So if you ever go to Ben Gurion Airport, you'll see the security starts long before they ask you all those strange questions. Did I tell you the story that happened to one of the kids in the shul? I tell you that story, right? I didn't tell you the story. There's a kid in the shul whose family Dom is in the shul. They're not here right this second, and he was flying home, I think this summer, from the NCSY summer cola. And he got to the El Al desk, and, you know, if you've flown to Israel, they always try to ask you questions to make sure you are who you look like you are. So they say to him, so he's there with a backpack and a yarmulke, and they say to him, where do you live? I live in Passaic, New Jersey. Now, where do you daven? I daven at the Young Israel of Passaic, New Jersey. And he says to him, and who's the rabbi there? So he says, you're not going to know my rabbi. So he says, who's the rabbi there? So they said, Rabbi Glasser. The guy says to him, he goes, oh, he's the funny one. I've heard him on the internet. Something like that. So maybe I'm messing up a little bit. But right? But if you go to Ben-Gurion, right? If you go to Ben-Gurion, you start long before. What does it mean to be Shomer something? To be Shomer something means you guard it. It means that in its anticipatory space, you're already protecting it. You put the guard, you don't want a guard in this room, right? By the time, God forbid, something's coming in this room, that's what we want to do. We want the guard outside so we could stop anything from... This is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos, to anticipate Shabbos. If your Shabbos begins at 4:32, you'll never feel the full experience of Shabbos. The only way to feel the full experience of Shabbos, as we discussed last week, Hayom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni LeShabbos. And then you get to Wednesday, and it's very interesting, in the Wednesday Shir Shel Yom, at the very end, there are two psukim added, like we spoke about last week, L'chu Niranino is added at the end of that Shir Shel Yom. Why? Because now it's Wednesday, it's Mamish coming, like it's really, Shabbos is coming, and we're so happy, right? Like it's, we're getting in, we're getting, now it's Thursday, and now it's Friday, and now, you know, and Friday, it's Friday morning, Friday afternoon, it's coming. If that's said, that's what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos. And it's so beautiful. If you look at Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he used to give these shiurim, these tshuva shiurim, in memory of his father, in the 60s and 70s, he used to give these very long tshuva shiurim. And in one of them, he was discussing the concept of the condition of the American Orthodox Jewish community. And he said something very interesting. He said, if you look at source number 12, even in those neighborhoods made up predominantly of religious Jews, one can no longer talk of the sanctity of Shabbos. He writes, true, there are Jews in America who observe Shabbat, but it is not for Shabbat that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbat, Eve of the Shabbos. There are Shabbat observing Jews in America, but there are no Erev Shabbat Jews who go out to greet Shabbat with beating hearts and pulsating souls. There are many who observe the precepts with their hands, with their feet, and or with their mouths. But there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of the service of the heart. What it means to observe, what does it mean to guard Shabbos? It means your attitude on Erev Shabbos, how you come into Shabbos. And there are practical things that we can all try to do. Could try to set the table earlier, we could try to get ready a little bit earlier. Now Shabbos is very early, it's very hard. I also come home, you know, right before Shabbos. I'm don't show up at my house at 10 o'clock on Friday morning looking for me sitting in white cloths and, contemplating the cosmos and, you know what I mean? Like, you'll hear the same screaming in that house as every other house. But, you know, we have to find some, and I believe this would be very important, some Erev Shabbos ritual. Something we do, whether it's setting the table, or it's a little learning, or it's getting ready a little earlier, or it's something in the morning that prepares something for some Erev Shabbos ritual that shows that, yes, it's hectic, it's hard, it's crazy, everyone understands that. We're not shoe peddlers anymore. We're not, you know, it's not like, you know, we just close the shop after Chatzos and, you know, go get ready for Shabbos. It's hectic. It's not easy. It's the last minute run to Seasons, and I can't believe they ran out of Mishpacha, and then you go to Kosher Connection, also ran out of Mishpacha. Why can't this town have another Mishpacha, right? It's not, everybody goes through the same crisis, right? But at the end of the day, something on Erev Shabbos that says we're Shomer Shabbos. We want it. We're anticipating it. And if we do that, then we walk into Shabbos a completely different person. And Rav Soloveitchik, actually, in another Tshuva Drasha, if you look at source number 13, he tells a little story. Not far from where our family lived, there was a Majitzer Shtibel, where I would occasionally go for Shalashuddis. The Hasidim would be singing, B'nei Hechala, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, again B'nei Hechala, again Hashem Roi. And it occurred to me they weren't singing because they wanted to sing. They were singing because they didn't want to allow Shabbos to leave. I remember an encounter in this Shibel as a small child. One of the men who had been singing most enthusiastically, wearing a kapata consisting of more holes than material, approached me and asked if I recognized him. I told him that I did not. And he introduced himself as Yankel the Porter. Now during the week, I knew Yankel the Porter as someone very ordinary, wearing shabby clothes, walking around with a rope. I could not imagine that this individual of such regal bearing could be the same person. yet on Shabbos he wore a kapota and a strimal. That is because his soul was not Yankel the porter, but Yankel the prince. Well after nightfall, I naively asked him, when do we daven Ma'ariv? Asks Rabbi Soloveitchik, which has never been asked in this shul. He replied, do you miss weekdays that much that you cannot wait to daven Ma'ariv? Right? I guess there was no movie theater in Chaslovich, right? That the Rav would say, we got to make the matinee. But the point is that our attitude and how we relate to it has a lot to do with the core experience itself. And that's true in life. Things that are important to us are things we put time into preparation for. Even when the actual experience itself is pretty fleeting, but the preparation, the anticipation, that's part of what infuses it with meaning and with significance and with purpose. And so that's part of what we're trying to do. So now let's move to the next packet and start to talk about the liturgy itself, the liturgy of Kabbalah Shabbos itself. So the Kabbalah Shabbos that we are all familiar with, so we open up a siddur and we read basically the six mizmorim. It starts with Lechu Niranina. Here we sing first Yidid Nefesh. Our minig is to do it in different keys, in different sections of the shul, at different paces. It's all part of our diversity. It's part of, right, it's part of how we like to make sure that everybody, you know, moves at their own pace. We don't like to force people into a box. So we sing Yidid Nefesh, and then we start Lechu Niranina. We recite a number of mizmorim, and then we get to Ana B'Koach, and then we sing Lechadodi, and then we have Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, Hashem Molach, then we say Kaddish, then the rabbi speaks, then the rabbi speaks some more, then we say Bamim Adlikin, and then we daven Ma'ariv. So that Kabbalah Shabbos, as we know it, we relate to it as one large liturgical unit. When someone says Kabbalah Shabbos. But Jewish history, when it comes to liturgy, one of the things we don't realize is that our Siddur, even though we relate to the Siddur as one final authoritative art scroll product, right? We don't realize that the art scroll Siddur, as we know it, was not the original Anshei Knesset HaGedolah Siddur. I know Mori's getting very upset. Just everyone relax, it's okay. But rather, the Siddur as we know it evolved. Not everything that's in the Siddur is from the same time period. And even within certain tefillos, they evolved in what I would describe as layers. So you have different periods of Jewish history where the tefillah experience is different. I would say the one seemingly common theme is that as time goes on, one thing is clear. In all communities, all over the world, it only gets longer. Correct. It only gets longer. Correct. Very few examples of cutting things back, except for maybe some of the communities that have taken out Yotzros. I think we took out a bunch of stuff here from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because Art Scroll put it in a shaded box. And once you put something in a shaded box, that was gone. And then I think there was another ritual committee meeting where Nimnu V'Gomru, anytime it says, some congregations don't say, then we are some congregations. When it says, some congregations say, then we are other congregations. So we have a very, you know, significant mahalach on how to navigate this. But the etzem liturgy, the tefillos, as we relate to them, they evolved in layers. And the same thing is true about Kabbalah Shabbos. And that's what I want to take you through tonight. The different layers of Kabbalah Shabbos as the liturgy evolved, and what each layer contributed thematically to what it is that was going on, and how those themes relate to the texture of what spiritually we're trying to accomplish with this tefillah. So we don't just come in and read these mizmorim, but rather we come in and we relate to them based on what their purpose is. And what's interesting, as we're going to see, is that it didn't evolve in the order that we encounter it. The Lechu Niranina Mizmorim, the first few paragraphs, were actually the latest additions. The Kabbalah Shabbos, as it was originally formulated, consisted of some of the later ones first. So we're going to see that now. So let's look together This much of this is based on a lot of research and many articles that discuss the development of our tefillah. So let's look at this together. So the first one is Chazal. What did Kabbalah Shabbos look like at the time of the Gemara, at the time of Chazal? So they did not come in and say Lechuna Ranana. They did not have a Karbach Friday night. They did not have what we have. They didn't have Lechadodi. Bizmana Gemara in source number one, we see with Chazal, Mashiachinu Ba'atzam Lekoved Shabbos. All we see at the time of Chazal is this mandate to prepare oneself for Shabbos. And there are examples in the Gemara, specifically of expectations, actually of both the women and the men, to contribute to the cooking, to contribute to the preparation of the home. If you look at the second paragraph, but we do not find in the times of the Gemara any dedicated tfilos specifically for Kabbalah Shabbos. So they would do their preparation for Shabbos, they would come to shul, and presumably they would begin with whatever formal tfilos related to Ma'ariv that they would say. But the Kabbalah Shabbos as we know it did not exist in the times of the Gemara. But there was already in the Gemara, the evolution of minhagim, of customs in the Jewish people, never happened in a vacuum, and they never happen as an innovative concept that has no anchor in tradition. We don't do that. Everything we do that's new has to be anchored somewhere that's old, right? Because that's the whole point of our Mesorah. So that's what it was. There was always a concept of relating to Kabbalah Shabbos. So it's very interesting that today that we have the liturgy, so we relate, when we say Kabbalah Shabbos, we automatically think, did you daven Kabbalah Shabbos? We automatically assume, does that mean, did you say these paragraphs of Tehillim, right? But it could be that one could not approach Shabbos with any of the actions and any of the activities and any of the actual focus of Erev Shabbos, and then walk into shul and say a bunch of Tehillim, and what you are doing is you are essentially observing a very late manifestation of this concept while abandoning the very source of all of this altogether. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. It all starts in the times of the Gemara with being actively involved in the preparation of Shabbos. In fact, in the times of the Geonim, if you look at source number two, the next layer was not only just doing things that prepare for Shabbos, but doing things that prepare yourself for the spiritual transformation of Shabbos. As we talked about, the Gemara talks about this, Neshama Yisera. So what do Jews do anytime we deal with a transition of spiritual status? We always associate that with tevila, with immersion in a mikvah. The reason for that is because the immersion in a mikvah, where a human being is entirely surrounded completely by water, is this embryonic, like symbolic experience of rebirth. You emerge from these waters and you have a sense of renewal. So a human being goes through their 6 days a week, and the Geonim already talk about going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And in fact, in the tshuvas of the Geonim, they discuss maybe there should have even been a bracha. That's part of the tshuvas. Is there a special bracha you say on going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos? There are men who have a custom to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And again, we in contemporary life relate to those people as like, Shana Bet Chumrah, picked up something in Israel. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, they go to mikvah on Erev Shabbos. What is that? That custom actually has a lot more authenticity and background than what we're all doing of reciting Lechuna Ranana. So not advocating anything, but I'm introducing the fact that the notion that we would spiritually prepare ourselves in parallel ways to the way in which we spiritually prepare ourselves for transformation at other times of the year, before we go to Rosh Hashanah, before we go into Yom Kippur, right? The Gemara talks about being Tovel before the Chag, before a general Regel, for a holiday. So that's already, and that's what it says in source number two, the Gaonim talk about this concept. But still, even in the times of the Gaonim, there really is no discussion specifically of any tfilos. There is a discussion about a specific bracha that might have been said, but there's no discussion of tfilos. In source number 3, we encounter already the period of the Rishonim. So the Rishonim, the most notable Rishon that addressed the issue Kabbalah Shabbos, is the Rambam. And the Rambam already, the Rambam talks about the importance of, if you look at the second line in source number 3, Shekavod Shabbos she'amru chachamim mitzvah adam lirchotz, you have to wash yourself, umisate petitzis, put yourself in tzitzis, wrap yourself in tzitzis. The Yoshev b'koved rosh mechal lahakbolas pinei Shabbos. And you have to sit with a koved rosh, with a seriousness, to accept, to be mekabel, the Pinei HaShabbos, kimo shu yotze likras hamelech. The way in which you would go out to greet the king. We're going to see that one of the themes that many of the Mizmorim, none of the Mizmorim that we say on Friday night talk about Shabbos. That's an important point. Other than that one statement, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, which introduces a Mizmor that says nothing about Shabbos, none of them talk about Shabbos. And that's an important point to understand. Because Kabbalah Shabbos is not, you're not in Shabbos. The Tfilos of Mariv talk about Shabbos. The Tfilos of Shachris and Milcha talk about, and Musaf talk about Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos is about the dimensions of our relationship with God that we are trying to access and we are trying to connect to through the platform and context of the Shabbos experience. It's not about Shabbos as an ends, it's about Shabbos as a means. Shabbos is the way in which we encounter the Malchus of Hashem. You don't feel the Malchus of Hashem the same way when you're spending every single day of the week going to work, working hard, accomplishing things, changing your environment, engaging in human ingenuity and creativity, manipulating nature in order to accomplish all sorts of outcomes, getting your paycheck, being rewarded for what you get. You're doing, when do you really feel like you're in the presence of the king? It's when you take a step back from that world and you're mekabel that experience of the melech. So the Rambam says, you're yoshev b'koved rosh. Many years ago, I spent a Shabbos in Bat Ayin. You know, have you anybody familiar with Bat Ayin? I'm not going to describe Bat Ayin. It's a very Breslov, that's a good description. It's a very Breslov Yeshuv in the Gush, I think. That's a good description. So it's a very long story, but when I was in high school, I had somebody in my life who was an influence on me, who was a very significant Breslov Chassid in Los Angeles. So, starting to make sense, right? So anyway, he then moved to Israel. And so I went to spend Shabbos with him in this community of Bat Ayin. And what I remember from it, other than sleeping in a trailer, what I remember from it is that on Friday night, we all came to shul. You had to come to shul like 45 minutes before Shabbos. They daven mincha. And then everyone sat and did nothing. Everyone just sat. No one talked. No one, some people sang a little bit in there, you know, but not like out loud. There was one guy that was clapping, I'm not sure why. There was, you know, and everyone sat. Now, I, at this point in my religious development, could not handle this. So I was, of course, learning. But I was, they looked at me like I was reading the New Testament. Like I had a Mishnah Berurah open, they're like, what are you, why are you bringing this Avodah Zarah into our spiritual space? Like, we're here to connect to something, you know. We're here to connect to a feeling, to an experience. And they literally was like this Rambam. It wasn't until many years later that I appreciated what they were trying to accomplish. They were literally trying to just sit and be Yoshev and make that transition. And I think that it's something we should think about, of what we do with Kabbalah Shabbos. The ability to just kind of take a breath and to try to calm ourselves down, to slow ourselves down. Yes, we're going to read and recite these Mizmorei Tehillim, but in certain ways, what's more important than the actual words themselves is what the words are trying to accomplish within us. They're trying to take us to a more calming, open, revelatory, divine encountering experience, to let the tefillah, to let the Kabbalah Shabbos experience bring us into the world of Shabbat. That's what the Rambam's talking about. So there was no tefillos, but there was a focus on doing that. Then we get to the Shulchan Aruch, layer 4. So it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch, as we mentioned last week, who lived in Tzfat at the time that a lot of this was going on. So he talks about, in the context of discussing, he needs to know when exactly the Shabbos begin, right? This is a very common Shaila that comes up, right? When does Shabbos precisely begin? Obviously, Shabbos begins at a certain point. There's a latest time that Shabbos begins, when 18 minutes after Shkia, it's Shabbos. There's nothing to talk about. But what about before then? What if we're accepting early Shabbos, or even a little bit Tosefes Shabbos? When does Shabbos begin? Does it begin when I say I light candles? Does it begin, that's a Machlokas Rishonim? Does it begin when I come to shul and I start saying L'chun Ranana? Does it begin with L'chadodi? Does it begin with Mizmor Shir? When does Shabbos begin? We have a minig to be Menachem Avil when somebody comes in Avelus to shul on Erev Shabbos. We do that after L'chadodi, right? We're not Menachem Avil on Shabbos, right? You don't, right? Does it begin with Baruch Hu? So this is a big discussion. In the context of this discussion, the Shulchan Aruch makes a comment, and he says, "Kos of Maron, Achar Anias Baruch Hu, Hu Kabbalah Shabbos, V'Lididon, Havi Amiras Mizmor Shir Liyoma Shabbos, Ke Anias Baruch Hu Lididhu." So he makes a comment that we accept it at the time of Mizmor Shir Liyoma Shabbos, when we say Mizmor Shir Liyoma Shabbos. So that already seems to introduce one of the Mizmorim that we are familiar with. It would make sense that the Mizmor that was chosen as the Shir Shel Yom of Shabbos, that would be part of the experience of Kabbalah Shabbos. And that's really the first one that we encounter in terms of the tefillos that were said. And after that, things get layered from the Mekubalim in Sfat. And we discussed a little bit last week. The wisdom of Torah is revealed in different generations in different ways. The Gemara in Menachos, an extremely important Gemara in Menachos, talks about Moshe Rabbeinu being, Moshe Rabbeinu was transported forward in time, and he sat in the eighth row, the Gemara says, of Rabbi Akiva's shir. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there listening to Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara says he had no idea what he was talking about. Didn't understand the shir at all. And he got very upset until Rabbi Akiva said, "Oh, and you know where we learned this all from? It's Alocha LeMoshe MiSinai." And then Moshe Rabbeinu felt better. What is that? What is that about? What is this Talmudic Bill and Ted's excellent adventure of moving Moshe Rabbeinu from generation to generation? Well, what is that? So the answer is that it's the notion that the wisdom of Torah is revealed in different generations in different ways, and there are layers that are revealed over time. And even though there are layers that are revealed over time, nevertheless, they are all anchored back to the world of Sinai. So when Rab Chaim innovated the more conceptual and analytical approach to Talmudic study, which did not exist before him, it's not how the Rishonim learned the Gemara. It was a new approach. So that was a revelation in the world. And that's highly influenced, at least Lithuanian Ashkenazi Torah study, and then today, where everybody is mixed with everybody, large groups of Sephardim as well, right? But there are different Pilpul, Lumdus, there are different approaches, different layers of wisdom are revealed in different generations. So Kabbalah has its antecedents in antiquity, in texts that are ancient, but as a systematic approach to understanding and encountering spiritual revelation in a physical world with description and with categories and with ideas and shapes and images, that didn't happen till later. So the Mekubalim in Sfat, they were very into this concept of Kabbalah Shabbos. And he writes, "Hagyoni chachmei Kabbalah Tzfat latzeis l'sadev alomer mizmorim upiyutim l'chvod knisas Shabbos." They were the first ones to sort of begin this process of going out into the fields and reciting certain mizmorim themselves. And we have, that's when we have l'chadodi written, And that's when we include Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And if you look at the third paragraph, Ubiyoter Matzanu B'Kisvei HaArizal, we find in the writings of the Arizal, Seder Kabbalah Shabbos. What do you do for Kabbalah Shabbos? Shetetze L'Sadeh, you should go out into the field, V'tomar Bo V'Nitza Likris Shabbos Malkasa, L'Chakel Tapuchin Kadishin, V'Samon B'Me'umad, and you stand B'Mokom Echad B'Sadeh, in a place in the field. And if there's a high mountain, you go to the high mountain. And then he talks about V'tarcha V'tomar Mizmor Chavtes Havu, which is the Mizmor that we say right before Lecha Dodi. And then he writes that Havu Kulo B'ne'ima V'acharkach Tomar Gimel Poem Bo'ikala Shabbos Malkasa, V'acharkach Tomar Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, V'acharkach Tomar Hashem Malach Ad L'Orech Yomim. So the original Kabbalah Shabbos of the Arizal and in the Mekubalim Mitzvot consisted of that last paragraph of Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim, and consisted of Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and consisted of the Perek of Hashem Malach, which is right after Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. It's interesting because it is our custom during Kabbalah Shabbos that even those that sit for L'chun Aranina and the next five prakim stand when we get to Mizmor LeDavid, right? And Mizmor LeDavid gets Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim. And in Mizmor LeDavid in the Karbach Nusach, right, gets a special thing, right? So we're standing, we're singing, we're rejoicing, so that's already the next phase. So that was the original Kabbalah Shabbos. The original Kabbalah Shabbos liturgy was those three prakim. And we'll get to what those three prakim are actually about. And then in the Seder Hayom, in a later iteration of this, that is when they introduced all the Mizmorim, that's in source number 6, all the Mizmorim that we say before of L'chun Aranina, until Havu LaHashem, Avshalom Matzanu Lehem Makor B'Divrei Arizal. That is not in the Arizal. So when people say the Arizal made up Kabbalah Shabbos, the Arizal made up a component of Kabbalah Shabbos. First of all, you had everyone going out into the fields, right? Which here would be really interesting, right? We'd have to go quite a ways probably to reach a field that is not contaminated by something, right? But let's say you were somewhere you could go to the fields. But and he had you saying something about but sefer seder ayom because she yotz le kabbalah shabbos im yeshimo chaver or tamid yotz imo beyuz or gimel tov yofe over romam hadras melech. The concept of doing it as a community v'im lav hu levad, if not then you do it on your own. The ava bishaloid liku neras v'bayis yotz le kabbalah shabbos or karkach bolo lahalik. Then he talks about halachically if you could go do this and then later light candles. That's also part of the discussion. But he adds on those additional pieces. I want to just get through one more point. So then he talks about, and next week in Mirtz Hashem, we'll look at the actual Mizmorim to understand their themes themselves. But he does talk about the general idea of these Mizmorim. These Mizmorim talk a lot about the Malchus of Hashem, the kingship of Hashem. They talk a lot about the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence in this world, which we'll get to that soon. And some of them also surround the themes of Yemos HaMashiach. What I do want to share with you is what's in source number 8, which is something that I never knew before, which I discovered in the research for this shiur, and that is that there was a strong minhag in the Jewish people as Kabbalah Shabbos evolved, not just to sing Kabbalah Shabbos, but to sing it with instruments. How do you like that, Moradina? No, this is after, way after the Beis HaMikdash. Ooh, very good. Very good.
Weren't there instruments used?
So in the Beis HaMikdash, there were instruments used. In general, there were instruments used, yeah.
On Shabbos too.
Because there were no, the instruments on Shabbos is a problem in the Rabbanon, and there was no Shavuos B'Mikdash, and so there were instruments used. After Churban Abayis, I thought where you were going with that is, after Churban Abayis, so I was supposed to have music in general. But in Europe, they were using instruments for Kabbalah Shabbos. I think there are still a couple places now where they're using instruments for Kabbalah Shabbos. Why did that stop? Sounds like a beautiful minig. And why were they using instruments? So there's a medrash. The medrash says that when Shabbos begins, that the malachim in Shamayim are playing instruments. So the Medrash says, the custom evolved, that if we're going to bring in Shabbos, we should also bring in instruments. I see the wheels turning in Shlomi's head already, right? You see the piano right there. So what do you think got rid of the instruments?
The church.
The church, not just the church, but when the church music began to be replicated in the shuls by other streams of Judaism, so then the Rabbanim in Europe did not like anymore having instruments in the shul. They thought that could lead to at least the impression that instruments would be appropriate on Shabbos itself, and that ended the Kabbalah Shabbos, the instrumental Kabbalah Shabbos of yesteryear. But this was, if you look at source number 8, Matzinu Shemeshach Kama Me'el Shanim, for a number of hundreds of years, Nagu Lashir Im Kli Zemer. They used to use instrumentation, Bihi Kilos Achados Nahagu L'Nagin V'Kli Zemer Be'es Amira Seder Kabbalah Shabbos B'Soch Be'es HaKnesses V'Kedei L'Hagdil Es HaSimcha Shel Mitzvah. And that's the theme we're going to take up on next week, which is, why did they have instruments? Because they wanted Kabbalah Shabbos to be a moment of simcha. And this is important. The experience of Shabbos is not meant to be unenjoyable. It's not meant to be oppressive. It's not meant to be miserable. It's meant to be joyous and happy and elating and engaging and overwhelming. And therefore, the introduction of music, and that's why the introduction of music at the outset of Kabbalah Shabbos became so significant. So the concept of having Friday night minyanim that have more singing, more dancing, more, that's not a modern concept. That's not just in our shul, Mirtz Hashem, we're working that once a month we're going to have a minyan, an enhanced Karbach style Kabbalah Shabbos minyan option once a month, so that we can reach that. So where does that come from? So it doesn't just come from a Jewish performer 50 years ago. It comes already back from Europe, the concept of bringing in Shabbos with Shira and with a sense of Simcha and a sense of positivity. And that'll take us next week in Mirtz Hashem into the Mizmorim themselves. Okay, we're going to daven Ma'ariv, everyone. Yeah, of course. They would end before Shkia. What do you mean?